Tonight, the President of the United States speaks at the annual Jefferson-Jackson Day dinner given by the Democratic National Committee. Some 5,300 persons have gathered in the National Guard Armory in Washington to hear speeches by government and party leaders. Among those at the head table, in addition to the President, Mrs. Truman, is the Vice President and Mrs. Barclay, Speaker of the House Sam Rabin, the Chairman of the Democratic National Committee, and Mrs. Bill Boyle, and members of the Cabinet and the Senate and the House. The President will be introduced by Mr. Charles Luckman, the Chairman of the Jefferson-Jackson Day Dinner Committee. Now, here is Mr. Luckman.
To do honor to our President, more than 5,000 of you have come here from every state in the Union, from Hawaii and Puerto Rico, from Alaska and the Canal Zone. You have made this the greatest dinner in the history of this country and a worthy tribute to our guest of honor. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Chairman, distinguished guests, fellow Democrats, this is the most remarkable dinner I've ever seen. And during my 30 years in politics, I've seen many a dinner. And I've attended many Democratic meetings, such as this. And I think this has been the grandest one of all. This dinner, and others like it throughout the land, are evidence of the growing strength of the Democratic Party. They show that our party is determined more than ever before to carry its message to the voters of this country. It is very significant that such great interest and enthusiasm are being shown in a congressional election year. We know that congressional elections are as important as presidential elections. We found that out in 1946. We found out just how much harm can be done to our country when a congressional election goes wrong. I'm sure we're not going to let that happen again. We're not going to put ourselves in the position of electing another do-nothing 80th Congress. These dinners carry forward a great tradition. The original Jefferson-Jackson dinner was held in this city in 1830, 120 years ago. It was given in memory of Thomas Jefferson, and its guest of honor was Andrew Jackson, President of the United States. At that first Jefferson-Jackson dinner, President Jackson gave his famous toast, "Our Federal Union, it must be preserved." Tonight, we meet again to think of our Federal Union and to be thankful that it has been preserved and find that it has grown in strength and service to the people. As in Jackson's time, we meet to discuss some of the problems that our country faces. We have some very serious problems today. We're living in a troubled period of the world's history. our responsibilities as a nation have never been so great, and the decisions we face have never been more difficult. We are confronted with serious questions of foreign policy. We have the problem of maintaining an adequate national defense. We have the task of maintaining prosperity and protecting our economy from depression. We have the question of handling the nation's finances and the national debt. My fellow Democrats, these are grave issues, and the Democratic Party is meeting them squarely. We do not believe in trifling with the people about these issues. We do not offer to solve them with. 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 And worn-out slogans. We know that the solution of these problems requires all the wisdom and energy we possess as a nation. We know that their solution requires heavy expenditures. The Democratic Party does not propose to deceive the people either about the problems we face or about the cost of solving them. The Democratic Party has confidence that the United States will meet these great responsibilities. It knows that the United States is a dynamic, growing nation. We believe that this country will make as much progress in the next 50 years as it has made in the last 50 years. But we cannot meet the responsibilities of today or the challenge of the future by following the outmoded concepts of 50 years ago. The promise of the 20th century cannot be fulfilled by those who would like to return to the days of President McKinley. We must go forward with our programs for peace through defense and foreign aid. We must proceed with our domestic programs for health, education, social security, and economic stability. Both our foreign programs and our domestic programs are necessary to answer the demands which this critical period of history makes upon this great United States. We cannot have prosperity at home unless we play our full part in the defense and the revival of other free nations. We cannot have peace abroad unless we increase the strength and freedom and the well-being of our people here at home. There are some who would like to see us turn our backs upon the rest of the world and drop our efforts to strengthen our domestic economy. The present time, they are spreading the mistaken idea that we can save money by going backward. They advocate slashing our expenditures for peace and for our domestic programs. These people are blind to the problems that confront us. They can see that a tax cut would help their own. They cannot see that a tax cut would only help their own pocketbooks temporarily. They fail to see that in the long run, false economy would endanger not only their pocketbooks, but their lives with the continuation of civilization itself. It is true that our present expenditures are large, but the Democratic administration is working toward a balance in the federal budget. I wish we could balance a budget immediately by the simple expedient of cutting expenses. My friends, that is out of the question. More than 70% of our federal budget goes to pay for past wars and to work for peace in the future. Anyone who says that these expenditures are extravagant does not understand the kind of world we live in. Our expenditures are less, our other expenditures are less than one-third of the budget, and less in proportion to the national income than they were 10 years ago. I would like to cut expenditures further, and I intend to cut them at every opportunity. But I do not propose to weaken the strength and security of this great country. I do not propose to place the peace of the world in jeopardy to satisfy the advocates of false economy. In this difficult world situation, some people are talking about general tax reductions. I regard this as rank political hypocrisy. We had one recent experience with an ill-timed, irresponsible tax cut. Much of our present financial difficulty is the result of the sweeping tax reduction which was enacted in 1946 over my veto, at a time when expenditures for defense and foreign policy were inevitably rising. I vetoed that tax bill three times, and I tried my best to explain to that do-nothing 80th Congress that they were ruining the financial structure of the country. They thought they had a tremendous asset in that asinine tax cut, but it backfired on them. Now, we must not make that same mistake again. In this election year, the Democratic Party will not play politics with the federal budget. We will state the honest truth about the budget, just as we will about other issues. We believe that the people are entitled to the plain facts about every issue, so that they can make up their own minds, just as they did in 1948. The Democratic Party can afford to be frank and truthful because it is working for the general welfare of all our citizens. It does not serve any narrow group or clique. This makes it easy for the Democratic Party to put its program before the country and openly and completely. We have nothing to hide from the people. Our strength lies in explaining our program and our policies to the people. And the more thoroughly we explain to them what the Democratic Party is trying to do, the more certain we can be of their continued support. There are many differences between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, but I think the greatest difference is that the Democratic Party is the party of affirmative action. It is for measures to achieve prosperity and progress. The Republican Party is the party of negative inaction. It is always against things. You know, I think the principal thing the Republicans are against, of course, is the Democratic Party.